It is episode 24 of The Blaze, and another weekend is upon us. We got the Blazers. We got the Rockets in a home-and-home set. The Blaze is for River Shore Golf Links. Perhaps hearing some news soon on the driving range opening up. Weather getting warmer this weekend and into next week. That means we're getting closer to the start of the season. We have a busy show and a lot on the go. Prospect updates. Commissioner Dan Neer updates us on a couple of topics you'll want to tune in for. Great guest today in Dylan Garan, the former Blazer goaltender, now in his second year pro in the Rangers organization with the Hartford Wolfpack. He's waiting for his shot. He's coming up a little bit later on the show. Plus more, Logan Stankoven. Stankomania continues to run wild in the NHL. What a game he had earlier this week in San Jose. 4 points, big night. He continues to impress. More on that. We cannot waste any time this week. Let's get into it. It is episode 24 for River Shore Golf Links. Okay, I'm excited about this show. Lots happening. And we'll talk about Wednesday's game on home ice, that wild 6-4 game against the Portland Winterhawks. The loss, Blazers were down 4-0, rally back 4-3, give up one, and get it to 5-4. And then can't find the equalizer with the goaltender out. But more on that game. Tough one for three players who left and did not return. A little bit later on in the show, we'll tackle more about that. Let's get into the opener. It's for Bry's Automotive and Customs. And to Bry's, I stopped by their luxury suite last weekend. Chatted with Kevin for a little bit. Saw Danny at the landfill. And she helped us out. And I even got a DND hat that she dropped off. So thanks, Danny. It's the opener. Let's get into it here. Shall we start with Stankoven? His play has caught the attention of the entire hockey world, hasn't it? I mean, look at the start. I mean, it's nearly a historic start for a first-year player. And now the guys over at Spittin' Chicklets, that's a pretty popular podcast, a little bit more popular than this one, and they're talking about it. So you know you've made it when guys like Biz and Ryan Whitney are chatting about you. And here's what they said on their podcast this week.
All right, let me tell you something. 5'8", so he's small, and that's probably why he didn't go in the first round. Like I tweeted out, kids, it doesn't matter where you get drafted. Do you think for 1 second, after maybe being disappointed that he wasn't a first-round pick, do you think this kid didn't look at that as a fire and look at that as a slap in the face and just say, wait till people see what I can do in pro hockey? Because it's taken him about 3 minutes this year to figure out the NHL and how to score and how to create plays. He went into the AHL and dominated all over the place.
So that's the Spittin' Chicklets podcast. You can download, subscribe. They're very popular. But getting back to the point of Ryan Whitney there, he's so right. He's so bang on when it comes to that draft in 2021. Got to go back to that summer. It was a virtual draft, and a pitcher that will always stay with me from when Logan was drafted. He was drafted in the second round, 47th overall. Probably fell further than, you know, some thought he would fall. And there's a pitcher. He has a Dallas Stars hat. And he's trying to put on a brave face. He's trying to smile, but you can just see the disappointment all over his face. And it's like, yeah. And again, that's fuel. That's been fuel for him. He's come in, and I think Ryan Whitney couldn't be more accurate. And, you know, when it comes to Logan, he's found some chemistry with Wyatt Johnston there. They've been paired together. They combined for 9 points the other night. Johnston had the hat trick. Stankoven, 2 goals, 2 assists. I mean, incredible. These were these two players, the first round pick and the second round pick in the same draft. And Logan was asked about that by Stars Media post game.
What's your chemistry with Wyatt been like? I know it's only 6 games, but it seems like you guys play off each other very well.
Yeah, it's not bad. No, I love playing with
and you
Johnny.
Said you played with him before in the
yeah,
past.
Yeah, I love playing with Johnny. You know, we go way back. He's always been a guy that has been one of the top guys and top dogs out there. So now to kind of be on his side and play with him, I'm really thankful for that. And obviously he had a great night.
So it's an incredible start. And I think, you know, we're attached to this, right? Because, you know, for a lot of Blazer fans, we saw him at 16. But for, you know, friends and family and those a little bit deeper, it's through the minor hockey system, you know, when he was young. And I think there's a sense that this whole start has just been validating for his supporters and validating for what we saw as Blazer fans here for four seasons. And I think that's why, you know, this is why I think we hang on to this a little bit more, because it's like, yes, like we were witnessing something special, weren't we? And he's been in some pretty elite company when it comes to the start of a NHL career. And I was asking this question to myself, is it the best start to an NHL career by a Blazer alumni all time? Now, I haven't dug into it, but one would say when you look at some of the names that he is with when it comes to points and how many games to start an NHL career, there isn't another Blazer on that list. So I think it's almost safe to say that, isn't it? But we're enjoying watching this, and we're going to get a real taste. Playoffs are coming up here, and I think there's a lot of Stars fans in Kamloops watching this story. Let's get back to this year's team. And Ashton Furster, congratulations, hit a milestone this past weekend. Big man hitting 200 career WHL games. I asked him about that.
No, it's definitely an accomplishment I'm proud of. I've been able to stay relatively healthy here these last 2 years, which has helped a lot, and I've liked where my game has come.
So congratulations. He's really come on. A lot of comments and tweets that I get on this show are about his play since the deadline. Also, hey, Jordan Keller, WHL Player of the Week. That caught me a little bit by surprise, sort of snuck up on me, and I was like, okay, yeah, I guess it was 7 points in three games. So I tracked him down and asked him about that.
Nice accolade to have. The team went 2-1. You put up 7 points in that stretch. You seemingly have a lot of confidence going with your line of Emmett Finney and Ashton Furster. Tell me about that group right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate enough to play with a couple of really good players, and it's been a lot of fun playing with Finns and Firsty. You know, they're really good, smart players. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Two goals back Wednesday night against Portland. A couple of power play goals, what, 16 seconds apart. So he is continuing to roll right along. We talk about the goals and the points a lot, but Jordan does a lot of the little things right, makes good plays, and good to see him get rewarded. That is the opener for Bry's Automotive and Customs. Okay, let's go on the move for Thompson Valley Charters, and they need bus drivers. Have you heard the word? Do you have a bus driver or someone with the proper license in your family? Direct them to tvcbus.ca. Happy birthday to Roger Nadeau from Thompson Valley Charters. It's Friday. Driving the team to Kelowna, I'm told. So a big happy birthday to Raji. And he's spending his birthday driving the team. So there you go. Dedicated fella. Blazers began the week Wednesday with a loss. My whole feeling in that was this game is close and maybe it shouldn't be based on the chances, the shots on goal. But lo and behold, Blazers were a shot away in the final moments from tying that game and forcing overtime against now the top team in the Western Conference. And I think maybe the best team in the WHL. It's tough to compare, you know, Portland and Saskatoon, yeah, Prince George, Portland. So we'll wait and see. Regardless, Don Hay had a good take post-game about what it takes against the Winterhawks.
You know, when you play Portland, especially for younger players, I think they're a good team. I think that they intimidate you a little bit just because of their skill level and what they can do. And they have some real top-end guys that are very skilled, and they compete hard and they play hard. So, you know, you have to play your best game to have success against them.
So you look at the two rosters, and there's a big discrepancy right now. And you look at the game experience on the rosters. The Blazers, right now, just over 1,000 games. I think it's 1,046. And Portland, right now, over 2,200, so more than double the game experience in the WHL on the two rosters. Those numbers, by the way, compiled by Alan Caldwell on Twitter. You can find all his links in his bio. And if you want to get a feel for how many, you know, Blazer draft picks the team has in the next three drafts, he has all that information. He has lots of spreadsheets and things to really dive into. And I look at them, you know, quite frequently. The tough part of that game, three players left. Dylan Ernst late. Looked like he sort of reached for his knee or his ankle, you know, when that goal was disallowed. He tried to get back, and you could kind of see him get caught up underneath himself. Didn't return. Don't know his status. We'll find more before Friday's game. Ryan Michael tried to play through an injury and did not finish the game. Kai Matthew was apparently feeling ill and left the game. So we'll see of those three which are available for the weekend. New WHL commissioner Dan Neer was in the building Wednesday. And by the way, he was there. Big congratulations to Earl Seitz. Wins that top media award in the WHL. It's called the Bob Ridley Media Excellence Award. This is only the third time it has been awarded. And kudos to Earl for a long, lengthy career, not only covering the WHL, but sports. He's been retired now for a couple of years. And maybe we'll have Earl pop by on the show next week for a bit, arranging that earlier before we press the record button. Dan Neer, by the way. I was impressed with our chat. He came up in the first intermission. He watched the game in a luxury suite just over to our broadcast right, popped by in the intermission. And he's been on the job now for about 2 months as they did the passover from Ron Robison to Dan at the Board of Governors meeting. I asked him just what he's seen initially on areas of improvement for the league.
You know, it's still early to offer any constructive criticism, but I think a really easy one and a relevant one to this market is maybe getting more credit for the work we're doing in developing great hockey prospects, right? And you've got Logan Stankoven and, you know, the time he's spending up in the NHL now and the credit. People are talking about AHL standout Logan Stankoven. It's like, wait a second. What do you mean AHL standout? He's been there for 10 minutes. Why aren't we talking about Kamloops Blazers standout, right? Sure. And Western Hockey League standout. And so I think that one of our weaknesses is our modesty and the idea that, you know, we're very, very proud, but we're also not one to, like, pat each other on the back and say how great we are. And I think we probably need to do a little bit more of that.
So that makes a lot of sense to me, you know, and maybe I said, maybe it's the Canadian way. Maybe we're just modest folks. We're not one to self-backpat. We're not like the old WWF wrestler Barry Horowitz. That was his gimmick. He'd always go back and reach and pat himself on the back. No one probably remembers that guy. Maybe he doesn't even exist. Maybe he's just my memories as a young guy. Barry Horowitz. You kids out there, you Google him. The self-backpat. We also talked a little bit about the NCAA-CHL eligibility chatter. We've talked a little bit about that on this show. You know, Elliot Friedman just blew it out of the water, broke the story about a month ago. And it was pretty, sounded like, you know, the whole world was about to be turned over as far as how we look at eligibility. But it's been very quiet since. So I asked Dan if there's any smoke to the fire that was that story.
You know, there's not a lot to share from an official standpoint. There aren't active discussions between the Canadian Hockey League or the Western Hockey League and the NCAA. But there is a lot of conversation speculating around how that landscape is changing right now. And of course, it started in football and basketball, but it's expanding in a lot of different ways. And then what are the implications as it relates to other sports and the designation that we currently have as professional status and therefore the players being ineligible. You know, you can speculate a lot of different directions on whether change could be good for us. And if so, what does that all mean? But I think it's really complex. Like, if you look at some of what's happening in college football right now or basketball, players are becoming unrestricted free agents every year. And if you're a coach or a manager trying to build a team and you've got somebody that doesn't get enough playing time and decides they want to leave the next year, they have a lot to sort out as it relates to the college game. And whether the eligibility rule changes or not, you know, there's so many complexities around what the development landscape looks like. What I can tell you is we're going to look out for the best interests of the players. We're going to look out for the best interests of the sport. And we want to ensure that nothing threatens our ability to be the best development league in the world, especially for kids coming from the West.
So nothing imminent there, to safe to say, right? Nothing really imminent. But we'll see how it plays out. Blazers on the move. Kelowna Friday night. Host them Saturday, 6 p.m. at the Sandman Center. That'll wrap up an 8-game season series. Blazers have won 4 of the first 6. On the move for Thompson Valley Charters. Okay, it's feature interview time. And I've been trying to line this guy up and trying not to bother him in a steady stretch of AHL games. Dylan Garand coming up in moments. He is in the on-deck circle. It's for Hydra Power Wash. Hydra Power Wash, mobile pressure washing services. They service Kamloops, the BC interior. They specialize in heavy equipment, fleet washing, full exterior house washes, and moss removal from roofs. If you've listened to this show for a while, it is spring cleaning time. Book Christopher to come take a look and get that house completely pressure washed. More info online. Facebook, Instagram, at Hydra Power Wash. Email Christopher, info@hydropowerwash.ca. Our chat this week. It took a while, but we got this guy, and we're excited to get this guy on the Blaze for the first time. Let's welcome all the way down in Hartford, Dylan Garand to the podcast here. Gee, how you doing?
Not too bad. How about you?
I'm good. Are you aware of the Blaze bump, or do you know what this is all about?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Been following along here and there.
Seems like whoever's on the podcast, something good goes their way. And we'll talk about that. You're sort of connected to the two biggest stories in the NHL, it seems, right now, both teammates with Matt Rempe and Logan Stankoven. So this is pretty crazy, I'm sure, from an observational standpoint to see this happen.
Yeah, no, it's super cool for sure. I think kind of started with Ramps, he got the call up right after one of our games. Like I was right there when he was talking to the guy, and he went up, and it's been pretty cool to see him, do what he does and make a name for himself. And, I'm pretty close with him, so I know how exciting of a time it is for him and stuff like that. And he's just having a blast, and it's really fun to watch. And then, a couple nights later, then, you hear about Stanks getting called up and plays his first game, and the first couple games have been unbelievable for him. It's I think he's got like almost 2 points per game. It's yeah. It's pretty crazy, but it's cool to see those guys do what they do, and it definitely motivates me a little bit to just keep working and keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, because you've been a great teammate. Like, you're cheering for these guys. Like, I see on Instagram, you're pumping these guys up, celebrating their accomplishments, all while sort of waiting for your moment to arrive too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the success that they're having, of course, I want that for myself, but I know that it'll come for me one day, and just got to keep putting in the work. But yeah, it's honestly been a ton of fun to watch those two guys who I'm pretty close with have the success that they're having. So it's been awesome.
We'll talk about your time with the Blazers, but sticking on this theme of the NHL, you got your taste, but it was maybe almost just a tease, right? Because you were called up with the Rangers, but you backed up. So you took warm up. You were on the bench that night. I'm sure it was a fantastic experience. It's not a game, but what was that night like at MSG?
Yeah, it was super cool. It was definitely a valuable experience. Obviously, it was kind of my first time being up for real. Like, obviously, you kind of play in preseason and, see a bunch of guys that you see on TV on the other teams and stuff like that. It's pretty surreal, but at the same time, it's preseason. But, to actually get a chance to go up in the regular season and, be that close to kind of, I guess, playing in a legitimate NHL game, it was pretty cool. And, it was a good experience. Like, obviously, you're kind of a little wide-eyed at the start. Like, obviously, it's the NHL. It's what you dream of. But, once you kind of get settled in and see it for what it is, it's just another hockey game. And, they're just a bunch of regular guys and playing hockey. So that was probably a really good learning lesson for me kind of going up. And yeah, no, it was definitely cool. Like, I remember going out for warm-ups right away. I kind of went right to kind of over by the red line just to do some skating and stuff like that. And Fleury came out and he kind of came up to the red line and gave me a head nod and said, hey. And
no way.
And then he skated away and I was like, no way. Like, was that real? Like, it didn't feel real. So that was really cool. And yeah, I definitely remember a lot about that night for sure.
Yeah, that's cool. Cause I know you're a guy, you know, you're a student of the game, right? Like, I know, you know, the goaltenders and their style and what they're all about. Did you back up Shesterkin that night, or what was the sort of the pecking order, in New York?
No, Shesterkin and Quick, they were both injured. So it was me and my goalie partner down here, Louis Domingue, and Louis played. And yeah, so the tandem in Hartford was the tandem in New York for that night. It was kind of crazy.
Wow, it's like take your kids to work day for a day there or something. Yeah, but boy.
Someone must have been thinking that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think of the depth there. You mentioned it there. Quick backs up Shesterkin, who has just been all world in the second half with the Rangers. You know, is it tough to play behind, you know, one of the top tandems in the NHL?
Maybe. I think for me, that's not really like the mindset I've had. Obviously, you know, I want to be in New York and I want to play in the NHL, but at the same time, I don't want to rush my way there. You know, I still feel like I don't want to rush there. I want to kind of take my time and really develop and, you know, kind of, I guess, hone my game and keep continuing to get better. So that way, when I do make that full-time transition, I'm not struggling and have to kind of find my way. I'm more experienced and kind of know my game a little bit better. So I don't really, right now at least, like, feel like I'm playing behind them. I'm just trying to earn my opportunity here in Hartford and keep developing and working on my game. And yeah, so eventually when the time comes that I'm more ready.
I don't know if I've seen a goaltender more committed to the craft of just getting better every day. Like, I think if you don't get better every day or take a little bit of a step, then it's like a step backwards here. Is that fair to say for kind of your mindset?
Exactly, for sure. And I think that's something that I kind of have been, I guess, experiencing a little bit this year. Like, you know, in the pro game, obviously it's real easy to get caught up in results and outcomes and stuff like that. And obviously there's a lot more pressure and, you know, you got to perform. So it's really easy to look at it that way. But yeah, for me, like I feel I play my best and I gain the most confidence when I just focus on the process and just focusing on getting better every day. Like, the results don't really matter. You just keep improving a little bit every day over the course of, you know, a week and a month and years. It all adds up. And yeah, you definitely feel a little better about yourself. So yeah, that's kind of where my focus has been at and I've kind of really been faced with this year.
Yeah, your numbers are great. You know, 9-10 this day and age. For whatever reason, save percentages are down in pro hockey. They're down in the WHL. Like 920 is the new 900. Or I should say 900 is the new 920. And you're at 9-10, 2.65 goals against average. Why do you think numbers for goaltenders are decreasing a little bit?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know. I feel like it kind of changes every year. I think last year was kind of a pretty good year for goalies. Like, save percentages were high, and then, you know, kind of flips every year. I don't know. I think, you know, players in this league and the NHL are obviously really good. And, you know, if you give up any type of B-plus or A chance, you know, there's a pretty good percentage that's going to end up in the back of their net with how good they are and how fast the game is and stuff like that. But, no, it's definitely something that it's challenging for sure, but I mean, obviously I want good numbers, but I really try not to focus on that and just focus on the process and let that stuff take care of itself.
So many worlds colliding down there for Blazer fans. Like, you play, you face off against like Luke Toporowski a lot. You played him the other night, and Dalen Keefler. And I'm happy you pointed this out because Dalen Keefler scored his first AHL goal, and I didn't even like pay attention to who the goaltender was. And you sent me a message. You said devastating, and then I was like, oh hey, it's G. I was on G last night. So it's so odd, I think, for Blazer fans. But what's it like to match up with these guys now that you played with in junior?
Yeah, it's fun for sure. I got to play against Topper a lot last year, who's obviously a really good buddy of mine, and you know, he spends the summer in Kamloops as well, so we trained together there. And yeah, so it was it's kind of, I guess, funny playing against him the first couple times, but you get used to it. It's just kind of a part of the game. And then obviously Keith, it's been his first year up. Funny, that game, I actually didn't even know that he was like called up, because I think it was first game up or something like that. I don't know, but like he wasn't on our like pre-scout lineup sheet, so I had no idea. I knew that he was in the East Coast for a little bit, so I just figured that he was still down there or whatever. And then all of a sudden in Warnos, I kind of saw him out there. And yeah, I mean, the goal was funny. Like it was kind of a fluky goal, like a couple lucky bounces, and he kind of whacked it in. And so like in the moment, I didn't really care that I got scored on, because it was like an unlucky goal. And then I looked up and I saw who scored, and I saw it was Keith. And I knew immediately that the guys from our Blazers team were going to let me know about it. And then sure enough, as soon as I get back back on the bus, the group chat was kind of blowing up and they're all giving it to me. So I knew it was coming. And but yeah, I was happy for him that he got his first goal. Obviously, wish it wasn't on me, but you know, it is what it is. And yeah.
Well, you won the game. I know you were happy to win the game in the end. But exactly, a classic Keefe goal, right? Like back to the goaltender. I mean, that's the only way he scores goals.
Yeah.
It's crazy for sure. Your Blazer days here, you broke in at 15. Like, you got your first win at 15. There's still a picture that I see now and then that pops up on memories with you outside the bus with that game puck with your first win. How often do you think about your time in Kamloops and kind of coming in at 15 and, you know, progressing here to World Juniors to, you know, an NHL contract? Like, how often do you reminisce a little bit?
Yeah, here and there, for sure. I think I was very lucky and fortunate to have that opportunity to be drafted and to play in Kamloops. Like, it was probably, like, the best 4 years of my life, no doubt. And obviously, you know, I had a good amount of success there. Obviously, we had a really good team kind of every year I played there, except maybe my first year we were just okay. But, like, really good teammates around me. Like, those guys are kind of my friends for life, and I still am in touch with them and things like that. And obviously had really good resources there with, you know, coaching staff, Sean Colston, who was unbelievable. And obviously the biggest was Dan DePalma. He's still my best friend to this day, and we talk almost every day. Like, you know, to have a guy like that there for me every day was huge for sure. And, you know, I definitely wouldn't be where I am today without him and the Blazers. And yeah, I definitely think back on my time a little bit there. Like, I think the most of the last season I had there, where we kind of got our first full season in, I kind of was caught through the middle of COVID in my kind of middle 2-3 years there. And, yeah, I think my last year there was unreal. I definitely learned a lot and kind of feel like I grew into myself and who I am and kind of realized my identity and stuff like that in that last year. So it's definitely a lot of fond memories. And yeah, I was super lucky to be a part of that organization.
Memorable games. Is there one like that sticks out that you think about often? Or, you know, that's a lot of games you played here, and, you know, you played World Juniors, you're in that gold medal game in overtime, so you've played in big games, but is there anyone that sticks out for you?
Yeah, I think obviously tiebreaker when I was 16, like that was kind of the first-ish one in kind of history for the Blazers, something like that, I think. But obviously to be against your rivals, Kelowna, at home, like I still remember the crowd from that night with the first time we had like the rally towels and stuff was super cool. So that game's a big one. I think in the bubble season, you know, we had a couple big matchups against Vancouver kind of for the division title. Those were pretty fun. And then, yeah, last year, I think just all the playoff games, like we had a pretty good run and a special team. Like obviously we came up short losing in game 7 there. But I think that, you know, all those kind of playoff games that we had were huge games. And something that I learned a lot from being in the playoffs and stuff like that. So there's definitely some key games for sure that I think about sometimes.
Okay, well, I have one, and you were 17, and it was the 2019-20 season. You know where I'm going to this already, don't you?
Maybe, I don't know.
Well, it was in Kelowna, and it was about a little over 4 years ago or now, and Blazers were up in that game, and all of a sudden they sent out like 5 defensemen to a face-off with like young guys at the time, like Banks and Dalen Kiefler, Reese Belton, I think Semenoff was out there too, like 16-year-olds, I think, at the time, and and it erupted in a line brawl. Like, it was a galvanizing moment, I think, for the team that year, to push, not so much that year, but to push on that these young guys would be okay. You ended up in a scrap. I think that still to this day is probably your first and only scrap, but Roman Bazarin and yourself decided just to get in on the fun here. Let's go back to that night.
Yeah, that was a fun night, actually. I remember we played them in the back-to-back, so that was the second night. First night was in Kamloops, and I think we were beating them pretty good. And I remember he was waving me down like he wanted to fight, and I didn't go. And then after the game, because all the guys saw it on the bench wherever, they're all giving me a hard time about it. So then, yeah, next night in Kelowna there, we were up again, and that kind of brawl broke out. And I mean, the whistle went, so I just kind of did what I did, like skate in the corner, like didn't think about anything about it. Then I kind of looked up to see the fights or whatever, and I was in the corner, and he was standing at the blue line. So after the guys were giving it to me the night before, like I just said, yeah, let's do it, and skate up. And yeah, sure enough, we dropped the mitts. I think I got a little bit lucky. Like I heard that when he went to grab me, his shoulder popped out or something, so I had a little advantage there. But yeah, that was a fun night, and that was huge for our group too. Like I remember we just bonded so much after that. Like it was a really like pivotal moment, like, you know, us sticking up for each other and for ourselves. And yeah, that was a good night for sure.
Dan DePalma was doing color with me that night. So the radio, I don't even want to go back and listen to it, but it was pretty wild, I think, for sure. No, it's, boy, it's kind of games like that that you remember. Not that we condone that stuff here, but it was a memorable night. They had their coach, Adam Foote, who that was sort of the beginning of the end, I think, for a coaching change there late in the season, in Kelowna. But here you are, you know, you're still waiting your turn. I think you want to make your summer home in Kamloops. Like, is this a place you want to return to here? What's sort of your plans you have now for the past couple of years?
Yeah, for sure. I've been going back to Kamloops, I think, for 3 years now. Yeah, honestly, it feels like home to me. Like when I go home to like my real home in Victoria, like obviously my mom lives there still, but it doesn't really feel like home. You know, when I go back to Kamloops, that really feels like where I belong. And I really enjoy spending my summers there. Obviously the training off ice is great, and I get to work with Dan on the ice, which is huge. And obviously the golf's good. We get out a couple times per year, and yeah, just a lot of really good people in that town. And you know, they really welcomed me when I was playing there, and it still feels like home when I go back there. So it's definitely the plan to you know, make that my home one day. And you know, right now I love spending time with my billets and living with them in the summer, the Cazzetto family there. Yeah, they're honestly like a first family to me. So it's pretty awesome to get back to Kamloops in the summer and spend time with them and everyone else around there. And yeah, it's definitely a great spot.
I want to say the same way you attack goaltending is the same way you've attacked golf a little bit. Like I remember when you first started playing, and you know, I think there was like a big desire to get better. Like you've invested in, you know, a new driver, a new irons, and I want to say like your handicap probably dropped from like, I don't know, probably 16 to like a 5. It seemed like overnight. So this is something I think you really enjoy.
Yeah, I love golf. It's definitely something that, you know, I've kind of always played over the years, but last summer I really kind of got into it and started enjoying it a lot more. And yeah, this season, like my apartment building that I'm living at in Hartford here has like a golf simulator in it that you can kind of go down and use whenever you want. So definitely been spending a fair share of my time down there, just working on my game, working on my swing a little bit. And yeah, it's a work in progress still, but it's something that I definitely love, and it's really fun in the summertime, but also in season two, just to kind of get away from the game and take a break mentally and just distract yourself with something else that you kind of love to do. So yeah, it's golf's definitely something that I'm a big fan of for sure.
Okay, so you're in the sim, you're working on your swing here. So I'm going to set the handicap here when we get at it again. Boy, I think you're probably going to have to give me like 3 per side now. I think that's might be where we're at.
Yeah, we'll figure it out when the time comes, but yeah, we'll set it up.
Okay, well, I'm just happy you're talking to me again after the last time we went out and played golf.
Yeah, after you cheated.
That was the memorable day. We were playing for something, just having fun, and you were way up on me. And we got to the 18th hole, and I pressed you on 18, sort of like a double or nothing type thing. And on 18, I was in a whole lot of trouble, like tree line left. Found a way to get back on the green. I had like a lengthy par putt. We had a great group that day. Tim O'Donovan was playing with us. And Matty Dunstone, who's in the Briar right now, going for it. He won as we speak today, so he's in the mix. And I got some help that day. I got some help from Matt on the greens. Like, Matt's a, like, he's a line guy, right? Like, he's a curling guy. He picks the line, so he's really good at reading the greens. And he gave me the line on, like, about, I don't know, what do you think that was, 20, 25-footer maybe or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and he gave me the line, and I stepped up and banged it home for like the first putt I made all day. And you were not happy with that help, were you?
Yeah, I was so upset. I we can let the viewers decide what they think if having two caddies read it specifically after you said, "Oh, I had it going this way, the complete opposite way." I remember going in my car after and not saying a word the rest of the night. I was so upset about it, but it's funny to look back on, for sure.
Okay, well, we'll get a rematch in this summer. Love what you're doing there in Hartford. We're following it. I know you're following what's going on here. I want to commend you for being a good teammate to all the guys that you're seeing that you have ties with break into the NHL. The Rangers are a good organization, and we know your time is coming, so stick with it like I know you will, and well, hopefully the Blaze bump will push you over the top. Okay, G?
Yep, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Prospect Corner now for Mastodon Equipment, and this is the time of year to see our prospects that we've talked about here on the show actually in WHL Blazer game action. Mastodon Equipment Repair, your mobile servicing and repair specialist. From coming up with a preventative maintenance program for all your equipment, they do aerial work platform inspections, pre-purchase inspections, emergency repairs. They've got you covered. Go big, go with Mastodon. And how about Tommy Lafreniere? Doesn't sound like he'll play this weekend. He's gone back to Yale Academy to help them in that CSSHL championship tournament down in Penticton. Scored Wednesday night. Again, he gets a lot of talk from the people I speak to just about how well he's adapted so quick. And Don Hay, in our post-game show Wednesday, said, hey, next year you're going to have Emmett Finney and Jordan Keller be 19-year-old forwards. Ashton Furster moves on, so who steps up on that line? And he suggested it could be Tommy Lafreniere. How about that? You heard it here first on Prospect Corner, right? So, again, we talk about this is the time of year. We got Logan Edmonstone up, goaltender, still with the team. We'll see if he gets a game in here down the road or not. And now, not knowing the injury status of Dylan Ernst, does that move him up the depth chart a little bit? But let's talk about Hudson Clausen. He'll play Friday night. 16-year-old, OHA Academy. All he did this year was lead that league in penalty minutes. He's a feisty guy, and I chatted with him this week, Hudson Clausen for Prospect Corner.
Well, we thought he had a great training camp, was noticeable in the preseason games, and now he gets a chance to join up with a big club here for the week. We're talking about 16-year-old Hudson Clausen, who comes in from OHA. Hudson, first of all, the reaction when you got the phone call to say you were heading to Kamloops.
Yeah, you know, it's an exciting feeling getting the phone call, but, you know, it's a lot of emotions coming through and just wanting to do as much as I can, help the team win and compete, really.
6'2", 185 is what you're listed as. You come in and I look at your numbers, and first of all, the thing that stands out to me the first most was you're putting up some points here lately. Last 10 games, 6 goals, 6 assists for 12 points. But the other thing that stood out was 109 penalty minutes, which leads the CSSHL. So let's talk about what kind of season you're having.
Yeah, you know, I think my game brings a lot of banging and crashing in the corners in front of the net, but, you know, that comes with goals as well. Just depends on how my night's going, I guess, but it's always nice to bang one home, but yeah.
You look at the 16-year-olds on this team right now. You know, Nathan Boehm, skilled guy. Tommy Lafreniere's come in and you played against him. He's a skilled guy. You know, Andrew Thompson's had a skilled season. Zach Panalakis is trying to, you know, become that player too. So you look at yourself. You bring something to that group, that 16-year-old group, that I don't think the team really has. Is that something maybe you can be your calling card for this team in next year?
Yeah, you know, I look at it as something to complement their games, you know, get them the puck out of the corner, and hopefully they can bang one in. So, yeah.
Probably make your WHL debut this weekend. That seems like where it's trending. We'll wait and see on that. But your thoughts about taking on a Kelowna team, and there's a built-in rivalry already. You're playing your hockey there at OHA or near there. So, anyways, I know that that'll be an exciting matchup.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Maybe some of the boys will come down and watch, but really excited to get after and see what comes out of it.
Have you been following the team this season? Of course, we've been following you and watching your development here. Have you been paying attention to what's been going on with the Blazers?
Yeah, you know, it's been a rough season for Kamloops, but, you know, you can see there's a young future there. Great room in there, and just excited to be a part of it someday.
Okay, well, excited to see you do your thing this weekend. Thanks for doing this, Hudson. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks, John.
Okay, pump for Hudson Claussen's debut. He has some Drew Englund vibes for me. Let's get into buying and selling now for Kyle Panasuk, Westwind, Royal LePage Realty. And Panny has to be excited about the golf season. He's a board member over at KGCC, and I believe their driving range is opening up. So he'll be excited about that. And we're excited to get into some buying and selling. First of all, let's buy.
Buy.
Tommy Lafreniere. Good couple of weeks here with the team. Unfortunately, you know, for the Blazers anyways, he goes back to Yale Academy this weekend to help them compete for a league title. But Don Hay was raving about him in our post-game show Wednesday night and says, you know what, he could be a first-line guy next season. We'll wait and see. Not sure if we'll see him back this year, not have to check in with the team. Made a bad trade last week. I would have lost some money if this was the stock market. We sold the Spokane Chiefs after the loss here Wednesday.
Sell, sell, sell.
They go up to Prince George, and as they say on Dumb and Dumber, totally redeem themselves. They go up to PG. They take 3 of 4 points. Probably should have won both games. They won up there Friday. Then blew a 4-2 lead late in the third as PG forced overtime, and then won in OT. So since we sold off Spokane, they've went out and earned 5 out of a possible 6 points. They're on the verge of clinching a WHL playoff spot. So I'm not sure if I'm buying or selling, just updating that. Sometimes I should have that disclaimer. I am not a professional stockbroker, and please do not use the advice. Always trust a professional. Let's do some buying.
Buy.
WHL Commissioner Dan Neer. I was impressed with our conversation Wednesday nights. Some new blood. He's enthusiastic, and I can tell, like, he really loves the WHL and what it stands for. Hey, I'm selling the NCAA-CHL agreement talk. I think the gun was jumped a bit on this. So did media jump the gun on this one? Is there more to it that maybe is coming down the pipe? It really seemed like this was happening, but doesn't sound like there's any sort of formality to any of this talk. Hey, I'm buying Earl Seitz. Nice award received Wednesday before the game. The WHL's top honor for media. Hey, buying.
Buy.
Joel Edmondson has a chance to win another Stanley Cup here. I know it's the Maple Leafs, so like, don't laugh at that. The Leafs, everybody hates the Leafs, right? Unless you're a Leafs fan and you love them. And I don't have a problem with the Leafs. Like Fraser Minton, I know a couple of staff members that I used to work with in the WHL. Can I say, I think I like the Leafs. Like, I think I do. I know they get a bad rap. Joel Edmondson goes there, so that's got to up the stock a bit. Of course, he won a Stanley Cup with St. Louis, lives in Kelowna in the offseason. He was here during Memorial Cup in the summer, and we had him on our broadcast. So good luck to Joel Edmondson and the Maple Leafs on that acquisition this week. I'm not sure if I'm buying or selling this, but I was thinking, who's the most hated WHL team? The one that fans from other teams just love to beat. Who would that be?
Like, who has the most, like, combined other enemies out there? Usually it's a team that's had recent success. In my play-by-play circles and sort of the people that I chat with, you know, I talk to pretty much everyone around the league. It might be like, dare I say, the Saskatoon Blades? I don't know. Maybe it's not. But they're first overall, so that puts a bit of a target on their back. So maybe it is the Blades. But who do you think it is? I think that's a good question we can throw out there. Hey, I'm buying the Landon DuPont sweepstakes. And unfortunately, the Blazers are in this, but kind of not in this. And we're all talking about this defenseman that might get exceptional status. I'm not sure where that's at. Maybe I'll look into that. Landon DuPont, defenseman, Calgary Edge. His dad, Mickey, played with the Blazers here. And right now, there are five teams in the mix to land him first overall. And if you finish last, 57% chance of getting the first overall pick. Second last, 24%. Third last, 19%. Those are the only three teams that would have a shot at it. So who are those teams? Well, Kamloops, but they don't have their first round pick. Seattle, they don't have their first round pick. And Regina, also without their first round pick. The two teams that do control their destiny somewhat, the Tri-City Americans, are they team tank down the stretch here?
Sell, sell, sell!
Landon DuPont, a Tri-City American. They aren't in last, but 1 point ahead of Kamloops and Seattle as we record this today. And the Edmonton Oil Kings, the other team, with control with their first round pick. Blazers pick belongs to Everett. Seattle's pick belongs to Prince Albert. Regina's pick belongs to Kelowna. But if you miss out on Landon DuPont, there's a really good defenseman at St. George's Academy. Last name is Cripps, and I've heard he's a really good D-man. So if you finish and you have a top three pick, let's say, you're going to get a really good player. But a lot of focus is on Landon DuPont. We did have Mickey on the show earlier in the season. And we'll see how this all plays out. It'll be fun to follow, for sure. Well, maybe not so fun to follow. And selling. Okay, here's my one random non-hockey complaint for the week. I'm selling.
Sell, sell, sell.
When you're in line to pay for something, and you do not have, like, tap activated on your debit or credit card, when you have to physically, like, insert the card in and punch in your password and choose your account, like, everybody behind you, like, dude, just tap it. Just tap it. Anyways, it's my minor non-hockey sell this week. It's buying and selling. Kyle Panasik, Westwind Royal LePage, Realty Kamloops.
You've got mail.
Okay, fan mail time for the Mattress King. A lot of people know they have mattresses, right? You're like, yeah, it's the Mattress King. Of course he does. Also electronics, also furniture, and the best deals on such products. Mattress King, 421 Mount Paul Way. Let's go to the mailbag. Light mailbag this week. My fault, I don't think I gave enough notice. Just a few hours between throwing out the fan mail question and the call for comments and to recording. So maybe my bad. But let's see. At James Bicknell. James, friend of the show, he actually saddled up and did some color commentary with me in the football season. So let's hear from James. He goes, Sanch looks like an absolute wall in net. Is there any market this offseason for Dylan Ernst, or will the Blazers let him walk? Also, he says 6 p.m. games are absolutely brilliant. Is there any movement to make that a permanent time going forward? Okay, a couple of questions. We'll start on the time thing, the 6 o'clock games. That'll only be for Saturdays. That they won't be moving a Friday night game to 6, I don't think. We won't see Wednesday night games at 6. Those will stay at 7. But the Saturday games, I think, for the most part, you know, I like the 6 o'clock start. It's mixed out there. I do respect the fact it is mixed for sure. Also talking about Dylan Ernst. Well, letting him walk, no, like, I don't think that's an option at all. He's the only 19-year-old on the team. There's no sense of urgency to get down to three 20-year-olds for next year in this case. So he's been pretty good, you know, down the stretch here. We're hoping
the fact that, you know, he left the game Wednesday, that that's nothing significant. We'll find out more in the weekend. But the fact there's no urgency with this team when it comes to, you know, 19-year-olds graduating at 20 means Dylan Ernst will get a shot next year. But you're right, Jesse Sanch, at some point, right, like you're still trying to develop him, keep him going. You got Logan Edmonstone waiting in the wings. It's it'll be a tough call for sure moving forward. But that's a ways away. We'll let that all sort itself out. We had a DM question this week. Because it was a DM question, we won't drop the full Twitter handle. We'll just call him Glenn. And he had a good question today. He's seen Logan Stankoven do such a great job, you know, with the microphone in front of the cameras. And, you know, he says a question here. Who have been the most capable players when it comes to addressing the media with the team? So a bit of a shop talk on this. But we do some media sessions with the guys. We try to help them out. But for the most part, it's just what you mentioned, Glenn. It's feeling and looking comfortable. That's like half the battle with this, right? A smile, eye contact, that's half the battle. And Logan 100% gets that. And, you know, he's smart. He knows. And everyone loves to hear their own name, right? Everybody loves to hear their own name spoken by someone else. It's music to their ears. And these guys are smart. You know, they get it. So when it comes to some names, off the top of my head, Logan does a good job. But our prize pupil, our star student the last couple of years has been Fraser Minton. And he's been thrust like right into the spotlight, right? That Toronto media and all the craziness there. Comfortable, eye contact, good answers, intelligent answers. Those are a couple of the current names. But we work on this, try to work on it throughout the year. Just maybe it's a one-on-one chat about just feeling comfortable and you know, the answers to questions are often difficult at this age. They're difficult for adults, too. Like, people listening, have you been interviewed before? Like, have you been able to make up a question or, sorry, an answer, like, on the fly? It's not easy. And, you know, these are 16 to 20-year-olds. So it's not easy. But for me, I just want to see them look and feel comfortable. But thanks for the question, Glenn. Okay, Brotherhood of Blazer goalies named Dylan. With CSSHL playoffs this weekend, where will we see the Yales, the Rinks, the OHAs, Notre Dames, etc.? Do you see Kamloops eventually fielding a sports school team or staying with the current system? You know, when you bring that up, it's a really good idea. It's a really good idea. But I'm sure KMHA wouldn't be a fan of that in their backyard. But you think of, you know, where these schools are in that league, and, you know, Kamloops is sort of left off for now. That's a good question. That's the first time I've really thought about, you know, an academy here within that league. So thank you for alerting that possibility. What else do we got? Carter underscore Grice. Do we see goaltender Edmonstone in one of the two games this weekend? Not ruling it out. We'll wait and see. I guess maybe some of this hinges on how Dylan Ernst is feeling. I think there's a want to get him into a game at some point. I just don't know when that'll happen. But we'll see, and I kind of hope we get a chance to see Logan Edmonstone at some point. But good question, as always, Carter. I always say you got good questions, so another good one. Dwayne 3081 Twitter says, where do you think the Blazers will be in the standings next year? Will they make playoffs? I think playoffs has to be the goal next year. I think that has to be a goal to shoot for. This roster will look a little bit different. There's open 20-year-old spots. I want to see the team use some of this draft capital and fill a couple of 20-year-old spots with some, you know, some top players, if they can, to insulate what is still going to be a young roster next season. I think the goal has to be playoffs next year. So who are they better than? I'll start doing the math. Who are they better than within the division? Who are they better within the conference? And it's not as easy to make playoffs as it was before. Now three teams miss instead of two. But good question. I think playoffs has to be a bit of a goal. And Ronald on the res, who listens to us religiously during the games, tweets at us during the games. He says, just saw highlights from last night. That was a close game against a big team. Yeah, it was. Close, for sure. Thanks for all your questions. Maybe next week I'll get that mailbag tweet out a little bit earlier in the week.
Hey, and as always, thanks for playing along. It is Fan Mail for the Mattress King. Okay, closing remarks, episode 24 for Len at Pleasure Pools Plus. If you know Len, you can text Len, say, hey, I heard you on the podcast. I heard you on the radio. Because we love our folks at Pleasure Pools Plus with a massive roster of affordable H2O, Cal, and Sundance spas. They do hot tub repairs, service advice. Talk to Len, Sari, and their staff today. If you're thinking about the backyard pool this year, finally going to give in. Say, let's make our oasis at home instead of spending money to go on a summer vacation somewhere. Invest it back in your backyard. Call Pleasure Pools Plus. Okay, so great show this week. I want to thank Dylan Garand for popping by. Always great to talk to him. I hope he makes Kamloops his summer home because he's fun to be around, and he's a good goaltender, and I think he is destined for big things in the NHL, just waiting out his turn. Stankomania has been crazy. Good to see him get the attention on Spittin' Chicklets. Blazers, what do we got left here? 7 games in the regular season. Still fighting hard. They've been a better team post-trade deadline than before. And it's Kelowna this weekend. Always entertaining games. Always entertaining. Friday there. Saturday night, 6 o'clock, Sandman Center. Home and home with Vancouver next weekend. And it closes with a home and home with the Prince George Cougars. Those could be big games. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to you. Thanks for all the questions online and on Twitter. And all the chit-chat that we have whenever I see it, Blazer games or wherever we are, we can talk about the Blaze. And it's a pleasure to bring you this show every week. That's episode 24. It is for River Shore Golf Links.